Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and Superdeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, the game, hour number two here on a Football Friday. Good to have you in. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and Marquise with you. Our buddy Teron Davenport will join us coming up at 7:30 this morning. So we've discussed Preds, we've discussed the Vols, we got to the SEC. Let's get to the Titans, Titans and Bills on Sunday. And I have a really good feeling about this game. I was thinking about this yesterday. And this is one of the most unpredictable teams in the league, right? The Tennessee Titans are a microcosm of the NFL. It is truly week to week. But I think I have the perfect read on this game Sunday. So why
do you feel this way as opposed to all the other games that you've been?
This one is a can't miss. I'm 0-4, by the way, picking the Titans this year.
Right, that's
0-4.
Oh, wow.
So why do you feel differently about this one?
Here's all the factors, both sides of the equation. First of all, the Bills are coming off of an emotional game against the New England Patriots. They were 3-0 at home. They got up for that game to beat Tom Brady and Belichick, get first place in the division, emotionally spent after a hard-fought 16-10 defeat. So there's a little bit of a letdown. Then you come here, Taylor Lewan returns for the Titans, and in 2015, the Bills beat the Titans by a point. In 2018, the Bills beat the Titans by a point. This, whether it's Josh Allen or Matt Barkley, will be a revenge game for the Titans. Ugly, low scoring, but I feel very confident Tennessee wins.
I mean, I could see them winning. I said they would win. I still feel that way. I don't think, they want to, the satisfaction of beating a team like Buffalo means a lot, because you're going against one of the best defenses in the National Football League. And if you can move the ball against them, that gives you a sense of confidence moving forward. I don't think you're right from the aspect of, you know, they got themselves up high for New England, mm-hmm. and they end up winning. But here's the thing. Defenses travel. Defense don't operate like mm-hmm. that. Defense just play. It don't matter. They just go and play. They don't care how high, because they got a standard. And they stick to that standard. And Buffalo has proven over the last year and a half that they have a standard to play on defense, and they uphold it no matter what. But, you know, getting high and low, I mean, it can be a factor, but I don't think it's going to be that much of a factor. I just think this is a different team than what New England was for Buffalo. New England was better equipped offensively and defensively to play a team like New England. Actually, I think they were better than New England from this, on the defensive side. I mean, defense going against their offense, it was tailor made for Buffalo to shut that offense down because of the type of players they are. They do a great job with the two safeties. Their cornerbacks are physical. They watch the ball. They're sure tacklers.
Disguise their coverage exactly. Very well.
Their middle linebacker is big. Physical, mm-hmm. their outside backers can run. The defensive front is good. They were tailor made to just demolish New England's offense, because New England is a smaller, quicker offense. The Titans offense match up well with what Buffalo want to do defensively, because the Titans are a bigger team, bigger on the outside with their receivers, bigger at the tight end position, bigger across the offensive line. I just think this team in this game, it's not going to be this lopsided victory, but I think the Titans are better prepared to beat a team like Buffalo than, say, another team, you know, maybe in their division.
And I agree with all of that. And I definitely agree with the you're 3-0, you're at home, and you're against New England. What that game meant to that fan base and what that game meant to that team, I totally agree with how up they were for that moment. And they played very well against Tom Brady. I agree with the matchups as well. I also think this is where a quarterback who's mobile helps you in a big way, because Tom Brady doesn't have any ability to do that. If the play breaks down to extend and maybe make a play, Marcus can do that. So I do think a mobile quarterback helps you in this situation as well. Now, you don't want him taking shots. You want him to protect his body. But it does help when, you know, if you're on 3rd and 5 and Adam Humphries is totally locked down because Jordan Poyer, the great the safety is – I mean, both their safeties are former corners. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both former.
They can play.
Those dudes can cover, and they can run, and they can tackle. So they are good players, and the corners aren't bad either. So if Adam Humphries isn't open on 3rd and 5 because one of their safeties is so good that he's rolled up and taken away the 5-yard out, can Marcus make something happen on a 3rd and 5? That's where Tom Brady can't, because he can't move around. And so it'll be interesting. There's recent history with these two teams. You mentioned it, Nick, right? With Nick Williams famously dropping the touchdown pass, and then the drive that they allowed Buffalo basically just to run the football down their throat and kick a game winning field goal. You mentioned the 1-point game before that. Then there's like sort of middle history, right? Which is the Music City Miracle. Then there's like ancient history, which is the Frank Wright comeback in the playoff game. It's sort of like Baltimore. There's a lot of history between these two franchises just sort of periodically throughout the years, and right now recently the Bills have gotten the better of them a couple of different times, and I think, you know, I don't know if that matters to players. You can speak to that, Derek. If you just for some reason can't beat a team, do you get up for them a little bit more, you know, because they've just gotten your number in the last couple of years? Maybe not. But I agree with the matchups. I like Tennessee. I like Tennessee last weekend. I like them this weekend as well. I still think it's very much like Auburn and Florida. I think it's low scoring and ugly and
first to 17 wins.
Don't expect quarterback to drop back and sling it all over the place. This needs to be protect the football. If you have to punt, fine. Don't live to play another down is what the message is, I think, this weekend against a very good Buffalo defense.
What is it though about Josh Allen? Because there's, you know, the guy has been winning some games, and he's not an accurate thrower, but he just has these moments where he ad-libs and plays backyard football, and that's probably one of the reasons why he got his bell rung last week against the Patriots. We'll see what his status is for Sunday because he's in the concussion protocol. But what is it about this guy that somehow his energy is infectious?
He's figuring, he's using his athleticism to figure it out. He's using his athleticism to win games while he figure out how to be a quarterback in the NFL. That's what he's doing. And he has he's probably one of the better athletic quarterbacks in the National Football League. But he can make every throw in the book. He has a strong arm, and he can make every throw in the book. He's just trying to figure out how to be a quarterback in the NFL. You got to remember, this is only his, second year? Yeah. I mean, he's trying to still figure out.
And played at a group of five level.
He's trying to figure this thing out, how to be a quarterback in the NFL. But he's using his athleticism in the meantime. And it's working for Buffalo. You know why it's working for Buffalo? Because of their defense. Because of their defense is the second or third best defense in the National Football League. So, and you got a running back that's just timeless. So you can afford to do all of those things while figuring it out, because you have the best friend of a young quarterback is a defense and a running back. And if you have a tight end that can catch the ball, they have all three.
Mm-hmm. Now, they also have a quarterback with 18 interceptions and 13 touchdowns on his career, who is a 55% passer. So he has the huge arm, and he has the athleticism. And I agree with you. I think it's a great way to explain it. He's a very talented, very athletic young player who's learning his way. I think it's a very good way to explain it. The problem is he's not as accurate as you'd like him to be, and he doesn't protect the football, and he takes too many hits.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, some of that's, like, Lamar Jackson went through that last year, right? trying to learn how to be a quarterback. In, you know, 47% passer, took too many hits. Now he's better, right? He's learning to how to manipulate defenses in a better way. Josh Allen, like, that was as big a hit as I've seen. It, like, the Vontaze Burfict hit.
And it wasn't flagged.
Yeah, the Vontaze Burfict hit sort of overshadowed it. But if that hit was on Tom Brady, that dude would be gone.
Oh, and by the way, Russell Wilson gets hit as he's releasing the ball, and it's a penalty last night.
I'm surprised anyone's ever touched him, though. It's so hard to hit him. He's insane.
But I'm just saying that shows you the hypocrisy.
Oh, the Josh Allen
quarterback.
Didn't get,
yeah, Josh Allen didn't get a penalty. Yeah. Russell Wilson, as he's releasing the ball, Clay Matthews hits him, and he gets a penalty.
Listen, it's different rules, right? Different rules. But you know what, though? Skins on the wall.
I'm okay with it.
No, I'm not.
Because here's why.
You can't be okay with different rules for different players.
For quarterbacks, at least.
I need to see elite quarterbacks, above-average quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks. I need them healthy. We can't have a league where we're seeing 17 Matt Barkleys. It's unwatchable for
them. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that penalty, it should have been a penalty
on the Patriots.
Yeah, on the Patriots, and it wasn't.
Josh Allen was hit directly in the skull.
Exactly.
No. I get all of that, but I'm saying, yeah, I want the Russell Wilsons protected, and
but not to that extent. If you said that was just a blatant lie. As he has the ball in his hand,
and
as
hit.
He's throwing it, Clay's right there, and he hits him, and they call a penalty.
Okay.
And then they score with the go ahead touchdown.
I think consistency for every quarterback is what we're saying we want. The discussion about do we overprotect the quarterbacks or not is a different discussion, right? Everyone should want consistency.
Yeah.
Everyone should want to be – every quarterback should be treated equally. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. If it's a penalty. If it's not a penalty, it's not a penalty. But you can't allow Russell Wilson to not ever even be breathed on.
Yeah, you can't.
And then
touch
you
him.
Can just smack Josh Allen around all you want to.
You can pick him up, slap him, and throw him down.
Yeah, give him a wedgie right at the 50-yard line. And like, it's whatever. Nobody cares. No, you got to treat these guys equally. And do we want them to be overprotected? Okay, fine. We can have that discussion. That's a different discussion. But they should be treated equally. And the hit on Josh Allen was a penalty. And it wasn't even flagged. And you heard the Bills players afterwards say, if that was Tom Brady, you know that those guys were getting flags.
Exactly.
And it wasn't. And that's the problem. And again, if it leads to Matt Barkley playing, can Titans fans say, well, I'm okay, you know, I'm glad we're not facing Josh Allen. You know, that's nobody should ever look at an injury that way. You should want to win against people that are at full strength and you know, take a true victory when it comes. You know, listen. If you're playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady happens to get hurt in warmups, you're not going to be that upset about it.
Nope.
No.
You'll take the win. I get it. But not like that. Not with hits to the head. You don't want that.
All right. Coming up next, can Marcus Mariota continue setting franchise records? We'll explain after this on Morning Drive.
Guys, let me tell you about Xfinity. You guys know I'm not using the other guys anymore. Here's an equation you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the number. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $800 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until October 27th, you could even get $250 cash back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving. That's right. Simple, easy, and awesome. Don't miss on Xfinity Internet and Mobile. Each with $30 a month, you'll get Internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/save big. That's Xfinity.com/save big. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offer ends 10/27/19. New performance internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change after agreement term. Regular rates apply. Mobile savings compares to Verizon and AT&T plans. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
7:17 as we continue on live here on a Friday edition of Morning Drive. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise, Teron Davenport will join us coming up in just about 15 minutes. So can Marcus Mariota continue
setting a franchise record. Teresa Walker tweeted this yesterday. Mariota has set a franchise record throwing 169 straight passes without being intercepted. Kerry Collins had 161 straight in 2008. Also, Mariota with the longest streak in the NFL with passes not being intercepted. So are we watching right now through a quarter of the season not only the most efficient quarterback we've seen from Marcus play the position in his 4 years here, but are we watching a guy right now that across the league is more than a game manager and just beyond great at protecting the football?
Nah. I think you're just watching a guy that he's playing within the framework of the offense. Here's the difference.
But that shouldn't be held against him.
No. I don't hold it against him. He's just doing what they asked him to do. Here's the difference. Last year, LaFleur wanted him to do more. LaFleur wanted to open up the offense sort of more. He wanted to do some more sort of exotic things in the play, in the scheme, which meant the quarterback needed to do a little bit more. And you saw where that got him. Eventually, they had to say, whoa, let's turn around and get a ball to Derrick Henry. We saw how that worked out perfectly well. This year, I think Vrabel, and this is the reason why I think he hired Arthur Smith, because both of them are on, they think the same. They went in probably along with John Robinson and said, okay, listen, we got a running back, we got an offensive line. Our quarterback is, we're still, it's a little shaky. Let's help him out. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to ask him to carry the team. We're not going to ask him to carry the offense. What we're going to do is we're going to ask him to turn around and throw and give it to the running back. And then after that, we're going to ask him to do what he do best, play action pass, turn around, throw it, give it to those receivers, quick passing game, sort of, you know, the crossing routes, the quick ends, and just a flat out go route. Let's keep it within what he does best. We're not gonna say, hey, listen, we're gonna give you the playbook. It's yours. Open it up. Let you do what you want to do. No, we're gonna constrict it. We're gonna help you help yourself, Marcus Mariota. And that's how we're going to be a more efficient offense. And it's going to show in your numbers. And it has. He's been a more efficient quarterback. Now, his completion percentage has gone down a little bit.
But they're taking deeper shots.
Yeah. They're taking calculated deeper shots now.
Yep.
And they're doing it in such a way where he doesn't feel as if he has to do it all by himself.
And the other factors to consider in all this, I agree with all of that. The other factors are three of your top four targets right now, of the four guys that have received the most targets in this offense, three of them played a grand total of a quarter of football on this team last year. Delaney Walker, A.J. Brown, and Adam Humphries, two of them didn't play a single down. Delaney Walker played half a game or whatever. So three of your four top targets in this offense weren't on the team last year. Derrick Henry, oh, by the way, is starting off the season from game one the way he began the second half of the season last year. So you're getting, it looks like we could be getting an entire season of Derrick Henry, which is what we asked for all offseason long. And oh, by the way, in the middle of all this, he got sacked more than any quarterback in the first three games in 20 years in the NFL. So there's a lot of reasons to like the direction that this group is going, but you still got to show up and do it every weekend. And, and it's going to be tough against teams like Buffalo. You know, Denver, you know, listen, they lost Bradley Chubb, one of their best players, but Denver's defense is no joke. You're still going to have to play well against that team, you know, next week. So you still got Jacksonville on the schedule. I mean, two Houstons, you know, there's still a lot of decent defenses left on the schedule. So this offense has, there's reasons for optimism. All the things you're saying about the offense and the scheme and what they're asking Marcus to do, I think there's optimism around the running game because Derrick Henry seems to start the season the way he finished it last year, which is great. There's more talent at the receiving position right now. With Jonnu and Delaney and the three receivers, you feel better about it. And that's not even including Tajay Sharpe, who's been largely a non-factor for this team in the first few weeks. All of these are reasons for optimism. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You got to go out and execute against a really good, sound, difficult-to-read defense. I think there's a lot on Marcus this week pre-snap. That's going to be the tricky part this week, is can he get them into the right play you know, 8 seconds to go in the play clock, and all of a sudden you motion a guy across, and it turns out it's man instead of zone. Well, you better be able to make an adjustment, and then they're going to trick you into thinking it's man, and then play zone, and then you better not quick throw it into a coverage. So Marcus is going to have to make really smart decisions and handle the football. This is why I'm like, if there's a lot of throwaways this weekend and a lot of punts and a lot of live to fight another downs, I'm okay with that because this game could turn into a 15-12 field goal fest.
On this show, we have made the comparison with Marcus Mariota. We've comped him to Alex Smith at times last spring and last summer when discussing what exactly Marcus is, what his ceiling is, what, you know, making the most sense of everything we have through 4 years. I'm looking at Alex Smith's 2017 season, which was his final season in Kansas City. He threw 26 touchdowns to 5 picks. He had a quarterback rating of 104. He completed 67% of his passes. Now, he threw for 4,000 yards. I don't think Marcus will throw for 4,000, but the rest of the numbers seems like something that we can sit here and say, could we see Marcus having a 26-5 season? I could.
Yes, I would. And I think the Alex Smith comp is fair. I don't have a problem with that. There's no Andy Reid. There's no Tyreek Hill. There's no Travis Kelce. That year, I think, was Kareem Hunt's year of leading the NFL in rushing. There's a lot the weapons that he's got, and you know, I'll let Derek wax poetically about Andy Reid, but like that, you know, when you get a guy who protects the football in a system like Andy Reid's, you can see how efficient that offense can be. Marcus protects the football pretty well. I was looking up the active quarterback's interception percentage, and he's tied for 11th out of all active quarterbacks. So that means he's pretty good at protecting the football. He's not one of the best. You know, Aaron Rodgers is number one, right? Like, dude's on a bad football team and throws 35 touchdowns and 2 picks. Tom Brady's up there at number 3. Russell Wilson's number 3. You know, so there's guys that are better than him, but he's one of the better quarterbacks at protecting the football.
Yeah, but go back to Alex Smith. You know why those numbers were so good? It was a guy named Patrick behind him, so he knew he had to have it. And I said that
he was motivated.
I said that at the beginning of the season. I said, "Watch, Alex Smith had the best season he's ever had because he knows that Mahomes is behind him, and he knows he's going to get traded or released. So he has to have a good season in order to have a big contract. And lo and behold, he has a good season. Washington signs him to a huge contract.
Would a player being in a contract year be similar?
Yeah, it could be. No, it could be.
You're
absolutely right. It should be. And that's what.
Would it be surprised if Marcus has his best statistical year in his contract year?
And yes, and I said that. I think it was the last preseason game, second to last preseason game they had here when I was on with Joe. And I said, you know, this is the season. If he's going to have a good season, it needs to be the season for no other reason than it's his contract year. You're going into your contract year. If you're going to have a big season, it needs to be this year. Because somebody, either the team that drafted you is going to pay you or someone's going to pay you. So if you're going to have your best year, you might as well let it be your last year under contract. Marcus is doing exactly. And it seemed like it's already, you know, you can kind of take it back to the Alex Smith thing. It's eerily, you know, similar. Because Alex Smith was, you know, it was last year. Or whatnot, and Marcus is in his last year. Nobody's behind Marcus.
Yeah, there's not a first round pick sitting there either.
But the contract's behind him. Yeah. The contract is sort of the motivation to push for him. Because I know Marcus don't want to leave Nashville. So if you don't want to leave Nashville, what then do you must do? You must have a really good season in order for them to sign you back.
Coming up next, our buddy Teron Davenport from ESPN is going to join us here on Morning Drive. Back after this on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on a football Friday. Nick Braden, D-May San Marquise. As we welcome in our buddy Teron Davenport from ESPN and ESPN.com. Always does a great job covering the Titans, and he's back for his weekly appearance. TD, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Man, I didn't want you to start talking because I was waiting to hear Rakim say, "I ain't no joke."
Wow, this is 2 straight weeks Teron Davenport has just come in here and just shut me down.
I think it's like 11 straight weeks he's had something to say about the music.
It's not personal with you.
I don't know. Did I do something to bother you? Am I on the outside looking in now?
It's Eric B. and Rakim. That's Marquise's fault, man, for choosing that good music to bring me into.
All right. I digress. So what do we make Sunday? I feel really good about this game, in part because of Taylor Lewan coming back, but also I feel like Buffalo may be a little bit down off of the emotional high of the game against the Patriots last week. What's your feel for this game?
I think it's going to be a slugfest. It's one of those back alley type fights. I don't know what the over-under is, but I would be surprised if it's over 36, because I don't really think either of these teams are going to score too many points. And Buffalo, I still feel they have momentum, because, I mean, they're 3-1, and yes, they lost to the Patriots, but it was a close game, and they were able to scramble Tom Brady to the point where he struggled passing the ball. They've still not given up a pass of over 40 yards. Coincidentally, the Titans haven't either. So, I think they're coming in and they're kind of salty. And I don't think the momentum is going to be an issue. I think just that salty defense is going to be an issue for the Titans.
So what makes it salty? I know they do a great job of disguising coverages, making you think it's one thing, and then all of a sudden the snap happens. And so I feel like Marcus is going to have a lot more on his shoulders from both a pre-snap read standpoint and a split-second decision-making standpoint. What is it that you see on film when you watch Buffalo that makes their defense so dynamic?
Well, first off, I'll start with the back end, and that's the safeties. And they're really good. Just at not allowing anything to get beyond them, and that's why they haven't allowed any passes of 40 yards or more. But then Trey Davis White, man, he's a physical corner. I talked to some of the receivers in the locker room. They know that, and they're expecting, you know, physical play from him. So that's something. But then Tremaine Edmonds is a guy that's really good. He's very active. So he's someone else, you know, they'll kind of bring him down in the box and then, like as if he's blitzing, and then drop him out. I saw a couple of times where they did that with both of them, Milano and Edmonds. And I think when you look at Oliver and Jerry Hughes and those guys up front, that's another issue for the Titans. That defense is sound. They, you know, going back to Sean McDermott, who, you know, Nick, we know where he comes from, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's a Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
Jim Johnson, disciple. So, you know, that defense is always going to be attacking. And I think, you know, that defense is among the tops in the league. So this isn't one of those games where I expect to see 20 points scored by the Titans or by the Bills. You know, so they're very sound. They're solid.
TD, one of the plays that Derek broke down yesterday when he did his All-22 segment here on the show was a formation where the Titans were in heavy personnel, and A.J. Brown was the lone receiver, and we've seen him have two really spectacular games in the first month of the season. Considering he's a second-round pick, 51st overall, is A.J. Brown way ahead of schedule for a rookie a quarter of the way through a season?
I don't think he's way ahead of schedule. I think he's just been able to come in and be used correctly and being put into great situations. And he's just exhibiting what he showed at Ole Miss. I personally felt he was the best slot receiver. I felt he was a top three Z, and in my opinion, a top five X. So that versatility was something that I was really high on him about. And then in addition to that, I felt he was the best yards after catch receiver. And you saw that on last Sunday. And Derek was right. They had, and I remember looking at that play, and I was like, wow, AJ's the only, he's this one receiver, and it's AJ Brown. But even on that play, man, they did a great job using play action just to kind of, you know, get those linebackers to come up. And they were in man covers. But if you watch that play, the way 36 and 45 were affected, man, they really, really came up. And I don't know what 21 was doing in covers, because he allowed AJ to get inside of him. And AJ he's I think an advanced receiver. You know, he's very confident with his catching ability, so that's why you saw him run through that catch. He didn't have to slow down, and he's awesome after he gets the ball in his hands. And that play right there really showed what he's capable of doing.
Now, Teron, looking at this upcoming game, and I know people want to go back and look at what Buffalo did last week and going against New England, and rightfully so. But I think there was a matchup problem for New England in this, from this standpoint. I don't think they matched up well with Buffalo's defense. I think Buffalo was a bigger, stronger, more physical defense. That's why they were able to do some things against New England that many people didn't think they could do. Fast forward to this week, I think they are more evenly matched with the Titans. That's why I picked the Titans to win. Can you see the Titans doing some things against Buffalo that maybe New England couldn't do last week?
I think they need to go to the screen game. I know New England went to it at times last week and found success. So that's what I would do. I think the tight ends have to be a factor as well. And I could see them finding ways to feature Deion Lewis a little bit more in the passing game. And looking at last week's game, I know the Patriots were able to use, so it's not different. I think they could do a lot of the things that the Patriots did, actually. And James White, you know, getting him matched up with 58, and that was a mismatch in the Patriots' favor. I think it's the same this week as far as being a mismatch in the Titans' favor. But it goes back to what I feel is always a difference maker for the Titans, and that's Derrick Henry. I really think they're going to have to feature him and run the football against this Bills defense.
Now, you're absolutely right. I guess I should have better explained it from a physicality standpoint on the outside, because New England, New England doesn't have the big receivers. Well, the Titans do. They do. And A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, both of those guys are 6'2 plus, and they're bigger guys, meaning 220, 230 guys that can run through tackles.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They have the physical receivers that you know, and that's exactly what Corey Davis talked about. You know, when I spoke to him, going against Trey White and the physicality that he's looking forward to. He's looking forward to going against that. And you're right, both of those guys are able to run through tackles. We've seen Corey Davis do it before. You saw A.J. Brown do it against the Browns. So that's a good point.
We've talked a lot about the Titans offense and the Buffalo defense. Let's go to the other matchup. And certainly the Titans defense getting far more pressure on the quarterback this year. They've been pretty solid against the run. You know, Frank Gore just continues to sort of defy Father Time. Where are you concerned, whether it's Josh Allen or Matt Barkley, where are you concerned about a personnel matchup for the Titans defense? Is there one at all?
I don't really think there should be any concerns about matchups, because if any, I'm going to say Cole Beasley. But what happens with him is death by paper cut, right? He's not going to get any vertical catches, but he will consistently move the chains. I think he has 34 catches or something along those lines. And 24 catches, I think it is, but it's only 10 yards per catch. So they'll go to him as that guy to help move the chain, similar to what Adam Humphries is supposed to be here. But I don't think there are any worries. If Josh Allen plays, of course you have to be concerned about, his designed runs, but really the undesigned, unplanned runs, where it becomes like a fire drill and you have to try to execute, you know, keep him from being able to run and make plays. That would probably be the only thing to be concerned about. But other than that, I really don't think there's anything to be concerned about. Frank Gore, though, I will say, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's a guy, you give him just, he could find the slightest crease and peek his head through there and break off a run. He doesn't have that long speed like he used to, but he's someone to watch. I mean, you have to mention Frank Gore.
TD, good stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
For sure.
Teron Davenport covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. The one guy I would say I would be concerned about is John Brown going deep in the vertical passing game, but Allen is not an accurate thrower, even though he has an arm, and Barkley might be a little more accurate, but he's got a Chad Pennington little pop gun arm that I don't think he can reach John Brown.
Pop gun.
John Brown he's one of those guys that, and he's proven it.
He beat the Titans last year with the Ravens. He caught a bunch of big passes.
This guy has world-class speed, and if you don't pay attention to him, he can beat you down the field and beat you consistently. And he catches the ball well. So I know that's one guy. I know TD talked about Cole Beasley in death by paper cuts, but I think John Brown is the guy that they really need to know where he's at all times, because I believe the only way Buffalo beats you is if, you know, one, if they're able to run the football, and I don't think they will be able to run the football that effectively, but hey, it's Frank Gore, so it might happen. But they can beat you with chunk plays, and that's what the Titans can't allow.
Right now, it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Louisville City FC at First Tennessee Park Tuesday, October the 8th. Just be caller number 5 right now, 615-737-1025. We'll come back, react to a couple of things that Teron had to say, and also take a look at the AFC South. The Colts have a stiff test this week, the Jags as well. Texans play the Falcons. We'll get to the South and how it affects the Tennessee Titans next on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise, and a surprise cameo appearance in studio this morning, all-time great NFL fullback Lorenzo Neal, who's now doing mornings on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area for my old boss who somehow hired me in Philadelphia. D-Mace, say hello to your buddy.
Man, I can say many things about this guy. Many things.
Keep it holy, bootleg preacher. You know, there's a congregation out there. There are people that you have listeners. This is like your platform. I hope you understand that. And there's a lot of listeners. Now, you can give life or you can give death, bootleg preacher. And I hope you give more life. You two gentlemen, I got to commend you guys. Face to face, I mean, it's just interesting to see the dynamics. See how you guys should get a raise. Whoever's the boss, I'd like to talk to him today.
He'll be here in a couple of minutes.
I'm excited to have the opportunity to sit down with him, because this guy here, he's a train wreck.
Well, he doesn't let us look directly at him.
Right.
Like,
right.
We have to look at the other direction when we talk to him, because we're not allowed to look directly at him.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what he
told
us.
So he says, don't look at me?
That's what he told us.
I can totally see that. You have a complex or something? I mean, what's the deal, bro? I mean,
he wakes up handsome.
I mean, he's pretty in the face and slim in the waist. I mean, I go out, I come in, and I see, someone's backed in backwards. It's black, nice Range Rover. I said, no money for D-Mace. So if I was a betting man, I would think the Range Rover downstairs is D-Mace. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
oh, it's his.
Hey, listen.
What is it about, brother? Why?
You are a politician to your heart. Just because you talk a lot doesn't mean you're right, okay?
What did I say?
He says that to me every day.
That's what we apply to Braden as well.
That's how they treat me too. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So,
I think I'm right all the time.
Predators 1-0, guys.
Yeah, Predators are 1-0.
82-0, baby.
82-0. Who says no?
Hey, I said it going 82-0.
Well, be careful. If you come in here and start talking hockey, might hire you.
Yeah.
No, you know what?
Hey, they love their hockey. We love our hockey. So if you start talking hockey, we might give you a contract.
Who rates higher, hockey or the Titans?
Dude, the hockey is unbelievable, the interest levels and how really? They've gotten in the last 5 years. I mean, you go to a Stanley
Football
Cup.
Football still rates high, yeah, but hockey is right there.
Like, really? The fan base, huh?
It is. I'd be curious, you know.
Sharks don't rate. The Sharks in there in the playoffs.
Well,
think
about this. Yeah. Last night, there was more buzz for game one of a hockey season where you're going to get 40 more in that building than there was when this guy, Eddie and Steve, were honored a few weeks ago against the Colts.
Yep.
Wow.
That'll put it in the right perspective for
you. That's a huge perspective to be able to think like that. So last night the game was sold out.
Basically,
And the fans come out. They're in the groves.
I mean,
when we were here and watching, we'd go to some Pred games. Mm-hmm. And that was 15, 20 years ago. And it was still people were still coming. This fan base in hockey, you didn't think that it was going to be a thing that would carry over. Didn't know if it was sustainable. But from the beginning, you had a pretty good turnout since the Preds got here.
And I know we ask Derek all the time, sort of like, hey, you know, old man, what was it like back then when playing football?
Did you go to any games back in the day?
Nah, because I mean, coming from Detroit,
why?
Having the red wings.
You're black, you didn't really like hockey? there's a black guy that plays hockey on this team.
Not anymore. Yeah, got rid of him.
Were you happy about that? So that gives you a reason not to go? I was, when I was here at Titans, I was a man of color, and I would still go watch the Preds play. I'd go. Me and Frankie would be up there.
I'd have my man. You're preaching.
I'd have a cold glass, and you know, a little Swiss malt liquor.
No
Bible at that time. That time I was getting it in, Coach.
It reminds me of the Doug Williams quote from the Super Bowl, where it's like, "What's it always been? What's the question Doug Williams had to ask the old Redskins quarterback in the Super Bowl when he's like, "What's it like being an African American quarterback in the Super Bowl? He's like, "I've always been an African American.
Yeah, I've always been, huh? Now I'm just having a Super Bowl.
What's it like being a black fullback at a hockey game?
You know what? It was cool. There's you know, to be shocked that I think that hockey is growing, and you know, even though you look at certain sports, especially certain club sports, baseball, it's a reason why Afro-Americans in my starting to drop, because it can be expensive.
We talk about that all the time, how expensive it is.
I don't think it's a race thing. It's just it's a financial.
It's down to six. I was looking at the numbers yesterday. It was up in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Black participation in baseball was like in the 19-20% of the Major League Baseball players. Now it's down to like six.
Yeah.
And it's just not something kids are doing. And now
Travel ball, all the things that go with it, it's tough.
We always say it. We think it's very important that, you know, a young black kid in Nashville can see a P.K. Subban play for a hockey team and see somebody who looks like him doing right. something and being like, oh, I can do that too. And sure. I think it matters to people. You know, it's unfortunate he's not here anymore. It is what it is. They had to make a business decision and move on from a very expensive commodity to bring in a different piece. So it's been fascinating to watch the team grow from an interest level, and it culminated with a Stanley Cup run a couple years ago where there's 60,000 people out in the streets, 100,000 people with CMA mm-hmm. Fest going on. Amazing. And the whole world is like staring at what our little team and our little town is doing, and the growth has been really amazing. So
I think what fans really want, mm-hmm. D. Mason, you correct me if I'm wrong, is just a competitive product. Everyone's always talking about, oh, Super Bowl or Stanley Cup or MLB. It's not even about that. It's the perception. It's a reason why the Steelers had only had four coaches over the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. When you have consistency in a product that's going to compete, we understand the Super Bowl's the goal. The Stanley Cup's the goal. I get that. But you get guys that can get you to the playoffs and make your product competitive. I think that's in whole. Give your fans hope. They want to have hope, and I think that's what sports, in my opinion, is more about than just necessarily winning.
And that's why I believe the Nashville Predators have been so successful with getting people to come out to games, because over the last course of the 4 years, they've been a consistently competitive and more than competitive team. They've been one of the best teams in NHL, and the Titans are kind of on the other end of the spectrum. Hasn't been as much consistency. Not many playoff bursts within the last 10 years, but once they start getting more consistent, you know, moments in the playoffs, then people will consistently come out to the stadium and support them. You know, yeah. I mean, when we were playing, we were consistently a good team.
Didn't lose a game in that place for a couple years
in the playoffs, so people came out to watch it.
Right. Right. Why was PK ran out? Just because
it wasn't the contract situation.
They couldn't renegotiate or do.
His tag was $9 million. It was the highest price tag in their organization. They needed that money to bring in the forward that they need to bring in, because they had enough defensive depth. They brought, you know, Dante Fabro is a big time mm-hmm. prospect who's now playing in the top four. So it was all business. In fact, we probably pointed to it for a long time as if you're going to make a trade, you trade the guy who's going to give you the most space,
value,
most cap
and
space.
Give you some value for him. Yeah, and trade so, to get some value for him.
Listen, he was – I think everyone in Nashville would agree. It's sad to see him go because he's such a dynamic personality. He brought more attention to that franchise than any singular player probably ever has. He meant a ton. But it also was the shrewd right business move to open up cap space. And, you know, a guy who's one of the older players on the team, I mean, it was probably the right move, and we'll see how this season plays out. So.
Thanks.
We know you got to get running for your show in just a couple of minutes, but
I'm good. Who cares?
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. Tell Nahigian you're going to stick around here for a little bit.
I just want to know, like, are you sad that the fullback is not a part of the game anymore? Like, bring
because you got the hat on.
You got the hat on. It says make fullbacks great again. So.
Yeah,
because we've seen the rebirth of running backs, right?
This is not Trump's America right now. Stop.
It's fullback.
It's fullback America. It's fullback America.
You can't wear red hats.
I get it. Too much too soon?
Could you still pave the way for Derrick Henry for a quarter?
I tell him, get on my hip and don't dip.
Get on my hip and don't dip.
I'll fall. Now I'll get him, you know, one play. It might be the last play.
But explain to everyone, you've been nominated for the Pro Bowl, for the Hall of Fame this year. Is this your first or second year that you've been nominated? And rightfully so. I mean, you were a staple at that position. You were, if not the best, one of the best top two or three fullbacks in the National Football League ever. Yeah. And it's just, to me, that's the forgotten position.
It is.
The fullback position.
No question, Derek, it is. And for me personally, I just think that even if I don't get in, Mike Alstott, you know, there's guys out there, Moose Johnson, Tommy Rathman, you think of Larry Sinners.
William Henderson.
Yes. William Henderson. Larry Sinners would absolutely crush you. Sam Gash. There's guys, Corey Schlesinger with Detroit, block with Barry Sanders. So I watched that position because it was a position that I played. And then, yes, there's been the Franco Harrises and those guys that made it, but they were in split back. It wasn't really a true fullback. So I'm talking about a true fullback that was going in there, lining up, and you know, going to the hair glass. I think that's a forgotten art, and I think you see the fullback position dying off, and I think the Cal Hughes-Checks, you see what he's doing in San Francisco. The guy's blocking. He's at the point of attack. Hopefully the Raiders can get their guy going because he is playing. So it's a place for it, but it is a dying breed. But you let kickers in, Ray Guy, which is great, and certain guys have been able to get in, the punters and kickers. It is a position, and hopefully the committee will understand that.
Can I ask you I don't know, this might be too personal.
No.
So if it's too personal,
okay.
just
it's okay. Derek asked me very personal questions when I first saw him. I went to his house. I spent the night.
Too personal.
Yeah. I stayed the night at his house. I woke up. My gums were bleeding. My pants was down. I don't know what the hell happened. D-Mace.
I can't ask the question now. You just totally changed it.
Oh, too soon?
No, not for me, man. Again, I don't know if management's listening, but who cares? I can't ask the question now. You played 239 games in the NFL. You played, I don't know, what, 16 years, 15 years? Just an insane number of games. Right. And a position that is arguably the most physical position in the entire sport. You basically run into brick walls for 2 decades. Have you felt any effects of doing that in your life now that you're a few years older?
You know what? I do. My back's tight, neck's all the time hurting, you know, fingers, they can do certain things. You know, got pins and rods in the leg, you know, several surgeries. But you know what? You would do it because it put me in a position. My family, I think Derek would understand that for us to in a better position. And it helped you be able to pave the way for your kids and our kids and hopefully for the future. So, yeah, I just wish, you know, the league would have told you about the CTE and all those different things. But I think they're doing a good job of trying to clean up the game and understand those things the game. But it's tough. It's really tough. And, yeah, and I talked to some of my friends and asked them, hey, do you forget? And, you know, they're my same age. Like, low, don't worry. It's not CTE. I forget, too. So those things you do wonder. You do wonder about your life and your life expectancy. So just pray about it and you try to live a good life. You try to take all these juices and berries Derek takes. And I don't know. Maybe he'll come up with a new potion that's going to help him grow his hair. If he can figure that out, I'm in.
Hey, you're in the same boat now.
He says no. You notice I'm working with here.
Right. Yeah. The Ball brothers.
Yes.
I mean, you got two guys that shine. I mean, you guys take turns polishing each other's hair? I mean, end up like a night like me last night with D-Mace. So you guys hang out a lot?
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah. Okay.
10:30 a.m. right after the show.
D's got a regular routine. He's got a rotation.
How many 1,000-yard backs did you block for?
Right now? Oh, I'm sorry. Too soon?
Okay. Hey, shut up. We're talking sports. Okay?
That's your partners. They're the ones telling me about the DMs. Coach, slide in.
Low, if
coach, buddy.
If
where's the text line? Was it blowing up right now? I mean, do you have a text line?
If Nahigian was here right now, he'd tell you to get back to the Niners, right?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So listen,
need you guys to get back on track.
Oh, that's him! Oh my God!
I mean, you know, the Warriors preseason game's big tonight.
So this is where the voice comes from. Is that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous.
So quickly, how many? Because we gotta go to break here. How many 1,000-yard backs did you block
for? It was 11 years in a row, and honestly, the one of the biggest years that no one really talks about is the year in the last year, the year 16. Year 17, I went to the Raiders, ripped the hamstring, and I was just done. But year 16, people don't talk about when I was in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. LaRon McClain had over 1,000. You had the playoffs. That was one of the biggest tasks. The guy was running probably a 4.7.
He's almost a fullback, too. Yeah,
he was a converted fullback, but had to play running back.
But the beating that I took was tough. That was one of those years that I was like, after that year, I was like, man, I'm hurting. Uh-huh. I'm hurting. So it was 11 straight years, and I was very blessed. Matt, this is for you.
There it is.
Are you supposed to give him what is Matt Mahe?
Yeah, he used to come in the studio. Get back to the Eagles. Get back to the Eagles. Because you're having too much fun.
Oh, my God. Joe and Dibs, you saw that. That's what Matt does to us all the time.
There's where management voice comes from.
Yes. And here's the bootleg preacher, Derek Mason. I'm live. Okay, I got 2 minutes. My show started right now. I'm out, guys.
All right, there he is, Lorenzo Neal. And he wants to make fullbacks great again.
Oh, we will come back.
Dude, he's still pretty jacked up.
Yeah, he is, man.
He can lead the way for Derrick Henry.
You mean like size or like on some
everything?
Everything.
What is in that man's system?
Good stuff. All right, we're back.
Did he blow up the spot there?
He did. He did. He's been in Derrick's DMs.
Hey, you can't listen to Low Neal. You can't.
All right, we're coming back. Our buddy Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Stay there.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.